track 14. As we're getting to the end of the magazine, it's time for the Past Lives feature. First is Harry Cox, Life on the Land. Norfolk bred and born, Harry Cox spent his life on the land as a farm worker, becoming one of the most important traditional folk singers of the 20th century. In this piece, Andrew Millam profiles his life.
To look at in the pub, old men like Harry Cox, hard as nails, with years of earthy practical experience under their flat caps, might have appeared unapproachable, a stern face carved with years of working out in rough weather and large calloused hands well acquainted with seed, scythe and plough. But, throwing back his head, closing his brown eyes, and releasing a folk song from a purity deep within, he was transformed to any onlooker. Born in the small village of Barton Turf on the edge of Barton Broad in 1885, Harry was the seventh of 13 children. His father was a seaman and, along with his paternal grandfather, a noted singer locally, eventually moving to Catfield in the 1890s when Harry was young. In a 1962 home interview, and the only video of him, he skillfully lilts whilst dangling a wooden man on a stick, which dances on a plank as he bashes it with his fist. And when asked about this oddity, he replies, "I call it dancing dom. I made it myself." He describes his upbringing. "I've been knocking about on the land since I was able to do anything. My father didn't stick to the land like I done. He went on the fishing." Chuckling, he concludes, "He done all sorts, he did. He wasn't tied to this lot like I was." Preferring the outdoors, Harry left school at 12 and a half. Every pupil had to pay tuppence a week, and his mother struggled to afford it. "There's nothing I learnt there that I haven't learnt 10,000 times since I left. I was not one to read, but I can read now. I learnt myself." He showed no indication that he would have changed things, saying, "We'd no Sunday suits, and you were lucky to have a shoe on your foot at all, but that was the life." Despite Harry's lack of schooling, he was a gifted learner, absorbing old songs like a sponge from everywhere and anywhere. He learnt songs from both parents and his grandfather, songs of the sea, love, war and peace, all the unchanged pillars of life, eventually building up a grand repertoire of over 150 traditional songs. The first time he sang in public was in Smallborough as a small boy, where he attracted a sizeable gathering and earned a few coppers. "They wouldn't let me rest," he said. But more often he sung alone out in the fields to pass the time whilst working. As a young teenager, Harry went into stock feeding and was eager to learn, working 7 days a week with no holidays. At harvest time, he mowed the barley and corn with a scythe and tied it up by hand, explaining, "You used to tie all day long. I used to take delight in that. I could tie that as quick as you like. So I was never afraid of nobody on that job. I done acres and acres." In his time, he worked on various farms and sang in pubs in Sutton, Potterheim and Ludham, using rare days off to go babbing for eels on Barton Broad. His life in Norfolk was broken up for a short time when he served in the Royal Navy during the Great War. As a farmer and sailor, Harry's father would sometimes pay a songster on land or sea to sing a traditional song to him over and over again until he'd memorised it. Harry advised that you have to get the tune first. If you get the tune, you'll get the song. Harry's mother was also a singer, living to 94, and had her hands full running such a large family. With a farm labourer's wage amounting to no more than 10 shillings a week, they saw more dinner times than dinners. Still, they remained positive and had many evenings singing together, playing the fiddle and melodeon, although it was realised early on that Harry's voice needed no accompaniment. I first heard him sing in a recording of The Foggy Dew, a traditional folk song popular amongst East Anglian singers. He instantly captured my imagination as his rustic, unpolished Norfolk dialect emanated rich, emotional authenticity. even through my phone speaker, the room was fairly shaking. Clock bells toll in the background, the fire crackles, and closing your eyes, it sounds like you could be sitting in the well-loved armchair next to him.
As I was an old bachelor, I followed the roving trade. And all the harm that ever I'd done, I courted the servant maid. I courted her one summer season, and part of the wind...
The folk songs he sang were passed down for centuries from one generation to the next. With such a vast repertoire and skill, he rightly attracted the attention of folk song collectors in the 1950s and 60s, who helped him to record 5 solo albums. Without these recordings, many traditional songs would now be lost to us. Contributing to a folk song revival, he inspired musicians like the Dubliners, Shirley Collins, MBE, and Steel Eye Span, and his legacy continues. Harry delighted in the old songs. "I like to hear 'em. I'd go anywhere to hear 'em," he said, professing that he would sit all week and listen with ears open to anyone who sang a traditional tune. He was wary of any man who did not like a folk song, and most of all, I love how he describes the benefits of singing. "When I sing a song, my mind is on it till I'm done. I don't let nothing else come into my mind. I let everything go. Keep your way clear so you know you're going right. Nothing don't trouble me." He died in 1971, aged 86, but a flickering flame of old England burns on robustly within his recordings, reminiscent of a slower and more measured era, when entertainment was self-made and jobs performed by hand. We have much to learn from Harry and his songs. Both pose a keen reminder to slow ourselves in today's fast-paced technological world and to be content with the basics: food, drink, warmth, and a song. For this reason, we must endeavour to protect traditional folk songs and keep them going, as he put it. If they do go, they're gone forever and no one will know them no more. It seems only right to end with one of Harry's toasts. "The world as round as a wheel, the sting of death we all must feel. Here's health to the living and peace to the dead. Let's hope no one in Norfolk wants for bread."